International Broadcasting lives on 5085. The Big One, WTWW.
Please stand by as we get ready to launch another episode of this Reality Radio Cafe Cast with your host and my husband, Denny J, K5DCC.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition, liftoff.
Now grab your glass and get ready to fill it up with some radio on the rocks.
Vehicle's pitching downrange.
Welcome everybody to the Digicom Cafe. Pull up a chair and come sit at the table with myself and my new friend, Edward St. Jude, who I met in the US GMRS group on Facebook, and they've got me hooked on all kinds of stuff over there. New software, new radios, and Edward's one of the, are you a founding member of the USGMRS, one of them?
No.
No, okay. But you're kind of part of the leadership team, right? Support team?
I'm part of the support team. I am not going to say that I'm one of the people that had his hand in the mix on helping getting all of this squared away. But since I've joined on and I started trying to help out more to get more people being able to get into the application itself and figuring out how to use it and all that other fun stuff.
Yeah, great. Well, I'll tell you what, it's only been, a month for me, and I'm absolutely hooked on this stuff. This HT app with the N7500 and the RT99 and the GMRS Pro and all the accessories and stuff. I'm just having a ball with this, and thanks to you guys, I'm not behind the curve so far. Normally, I'm on the cutting edge of this technology, and I missed out on this one completely, and I guess it's been around for a couple of years. Now, those of you that are listening that are hams, please be patient here. You know I always interview hams and have them tell their story, but I have to tell you, since getting my GMRS license, it's not all about ham radio. It's about communications in general. And there's a lot of other options available for people who don't want to take a test and get a ham radio license. So today I'm honored to have Edward St. Jude with us. Edward is not a ham, but he's very into communications. He's growing in his knowledge and understanding of the technology. And I would dare say probably exceeds a lot of hams. So I'm glad to have you here, Edward. I want to have you tell your story about how you got into communications in general, you know, go way back as far as you need to, and tell us all where you're at. Now, we're just sitting around a table, a bunch of us guys here. Give us a little sales job along with your story for GMRS and the technology you're using. Go ahead.
Sales job. I don't know anything about sales, but I do know something about trucking, computer repair and programming and so forth. So I'm what you would call a jack of all trades. So I've done a little bit of everything here, a little bit there. I've worked a lot of odd end jobs. As far as getting into radios, I was introduced into CB originally back when I was probably, I want to say about 11 or 12. Did not get back into any form of radioing until I got into trucking. Actually, prior to that, I was a courier out in California. Ended up picking up a basic CB radio just so I can communicate while going along the highways and byways and making sure I wasn't running into any issues or problems while going and doing delivery and whatnot. Now, currently, I'm sitting down here in Jacksonville, Florida. I have a delivery tomorrow morning that is about 10 miles from my current location. So that's fun. I am talking to you guys remotely on a laptop that is connected to my phone for internet service. So there goes all the logistics of that. I've been trucking for over 9 years and CBing pretty much since I got into trucking. But as far as GMRSing goes, I didn't start doing that until the last couple of months. And Scott was the gentleman that you had on your last interview. He was the gentleman that that managed to push the button that says, okay, go ahead and apply for your GMRS license. And a lot of it had to do with pricing. And I mean, granted, $70 isn't much, but for me, it was a lot. And it coming down to $35 really was the ticket for all of that. So now that I have my GMRS license, I got onto the HT application and on Android. Unfortunately, the HT application does not do networking on the iPhone products, Apple products. And that's the unfortunate part. So for those of y'all that are running Apple products, I would recommend that you, on your computer, download BlueStacks and utilize the HT app on there. Disclaimer would be the HT app on BlueStacks will not recognize any Bluetooth devices because BlueStacks does not support Bluetooth connectivity at this moment. The other alternative is go pick up a cheap tablet that will allow you to connect to the compatible devices that will work with the HT app. With that being said, I've been doing GMRS for a couple months now. I've decided, hey, I'm going to go ahead and dive heavily into this because I need something more added on to my massive mountain of stuff that I have going on here. And I don't regret it. I actually quite enjoy it. I have dove into the deeper end of learning how to set up a repeater, simplexing, different type of radios, and for the masses of many that are looking for low-level setups, my best response is going to be, if you really want to set up a repeater and you want to test to see if anybody in your area is going to utilize your equipment, I would say start with a simplex. That's basically a mobile radio running on a DC to AC power inverter at your house. Run anywhere, depending on where you want to place the antenna and how high, and with GMRS, height is where it's at. So the higher your antenna sits, the better you're going to get out and the better you're going to be able to receive. And the one main coax that I hear everybody talk about is LMR 400. So it's supposed to have better shielding, better lower loss of signal, essentially. And I myself have a simplex set up at the house. I have it, my antenna that sits about 15 feet above the roof of my house. And then Scott, he also just finished setting up his simplex. Granted, he didn't get the antenna to the height that he was hoping for, but he's got some great results coming off of that. Now, to give you an idea of how far, say, mine gets, I live up on the side of the mountains in North Carolina. So just north of me, a lot of mountainous terrains, trees, et cetera, et cetera. Not really going to get very far. With the antenna's elevation sits a little bit, either just under 1,200 feet or just over 1,200 feet. The radius coverage on that simplex setup is roughly 15 good miles with an additional 5 to 7 more where it starts getting choppy. Anything after that, I don't really get anything else. So, like Scott, I'm getting ready to order a painter's push-up pole to raise it from 15 feet above my house to 30 to 45 feet above my house, and I'll be running guide wire to ensure the pole stays stable and secure. And I will also be ordering LMR 400 as well for that simplex setup. So that's the simplex side. This gives you an opportunity as a GMRS user to test the waters for your area and see if you can get anybody interested in wanting to utilize your system. Now, with that being said, if you happen to start perking people's interest to utilize your system and you see that you've got some reasonably good traffic on your setup, that's when you can start looking at going full duplex. Full duplexing system allows you to create a reasonably priced system for, I don't know, we're going to probably say under $3,000. And that's a rough estimate. That really depends on the type of radios you tie in together with each other, the duplexer, power supply, if you're going to run a tower. Now, if you just want to run a single antenna, yes, you will need a duplexer. But if you want to run a dual antenna without the duplexer, there are better people that are more knowledgeable to this aspect. But on a very simple information of what it was explained to me last night was your receive antenna will sit higher than your sending antenna, so that this way they're not canceling each other. They're not interfering with each other, not canceling each other out. Sorry. You don't want them interfering with each other. So it's either you put one 6 feet higher than the other, or you set them, you know, far enough apart, 6 feet or 3 meters minimum. And now you got yourself a duplexing system. The only thing that you have to worry about is how you're going to tie the two radios together. So really the radios are just dependent upon the person, how much they want to spend and how long do they want the system to be able to operate until they can afford an actual true repeater system. And to give you a pricing example, there's a guy down here in Florida, Miami area, that has two of those systems up for sale. And per system, these are turnkey plug-and-play systems, you're looking at $3,500 minimum. So,
wow, that's pretty pricey.
Yeah, and the only reason I know the price is because one of the other main individuals that is part of helping with getting the Asterisk system running, they host it at their home over in Kansas. He actually reached out to the guy to find out what the pricing that he was looking to get, and when he came back with $3,500, I'm like, well, that means I'm out of that game for now.
Yeah, I would be too.
I don't have $3,500 to throw around for a plug and play repeater system. So I've watched some of Not a Rubicon's videos on YouTube, and he took a 2KG1000G mobile units and set up a duplexing repeater system at his place, and he liked the performance that they were able to do. So what I want to do here eventually is I'm going to get a computer. I have the one I'm talking on right now is what I was trying to get this to work on, but the Linux system that I was trying to install apparently did not like the hard drive, which is weird. This is like the third computer that didn't play nice with it. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong here. And I'm sure it's just the type of distro that I'm using right now that doesn't play nice with the system. But either way it goes. So it looks like I'm going to be taking one of the multitude of laptop systems that I have, and I'm going to be running a sandbox program on it, and I will probably end up using this one that I'm talking on now so that I can turn it into a Asterisk node essentially without running a true Asterisk system. And for those that are wondering about the Asterisk system that don't have a clue about the Asterisk system, and no, I'm not referring to you GMRSers or amateur operators, I'm referring to the folks that are still trying to figure this stuff out. Asterisk system is a digital network that it's a server system, and it allows allows other systems to communicate with each other. The ASRT system also allows you to utilize a setup so that you can take an RF radio and tie it into a digital network, so it'll go across the digital network and back out over to an RF system, essentially. It's really nice to have. And we have some of that set up with our with the system that we run on the HT app. So there is an ASRT system that is tied into one of the groups. That would be the Bravo group. And our goal eventually...
Now you're talking about Bravo group. That's within the US GMRS channels.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
A lot of people don't know what this USGMRS is. So,
well, for those that are wondering, you can go on the Google Play Store. And if you got BlueStacks, you can do this on BlueStacks. So either way it goes. Go on the Google Play Store and just type in HT, two letters combined together. And the icon that you will see is a green box with white circles. That is the HT app that I'm talking about. Now, Dean, the primary founding member of USGMRS group, he had a little bit of time on his hands, and he added a whole bunch of groups over the last 24 hours. Most of these groups are not going to be actively available to the general USGMRS members, and he is not even sure if we're ever going to reach that point where it'll be available. I mean, this is just ensuring that if we ever grow to that expansive measure of users, then there are capable groups that we can categorize them. And what he did was he went and created a bunch of groups per state. So if you went in and typed in USGMRS through the join network side, you would see there are over 50, I believe.
One for each state, huh?
Yeah, one for each state.
Sounds like a new network radios.
So
you're probably not familiar with that's a Zello thing.
Zello. There's a concept of networking that I'm not very comfortable with. Okay. Personally myself, and this is just me and my experience. I have been on Zello. And if you just use Zello independently and it's not tied into several networks, then overall it actually does okay. But when you start intermingling, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 different networks, it tends to start to create a much bigger problem. Now, the base overall with Zello is Zello already has a delay. Some people don't notice it, other people do. And I'm one of them people who can actually tell when that delay has kicked in pretty well. So by itself, it's great. It's not bad. But when you want to tie in an ASRT system, an HT system, and then you're trying to tie in RF signaling over the HT over the Zello networking with the three other networking software stuff being tied in together, now you create a delay problem. And if the audio linking isn't set up correctly and one's carrying a poor signal while the other one is not, then you start having what in essence is called a glitch out. So it sounds really spotty, really offset. There's a couple of groups that I'm part of that I do listen to it, and I can definitely tell when it's coming off of the Zello system that is linked into like three or four other systems. So yeah,
being one who has done a lot of that linking 8 networks, would you believe Yeah, I know the problems, and I abandoned it.
Yeah, now I'm not saying that it doesn't work for everybody, so I don't want anybody that is listening to misconstrued what I am saying here. All I am saying is, for myself as a communications member, I want the best quality communications possible, and I don't want to be intermingled into a network that could be creating the problems. So I might communicate occasionally through the, you know, one or two of the groups, but overall, unless they have simplified it and tied it in better and gotten rid of a lot of the glitching, for me it's not a valuable option, whether it's a primary communication system or even as a backup. And if you're in the USGMRS group, that was the reason for the posting, was to try to find a more valuable way that can allow everybody to get on any given system at any given time utilizing one software, one application.
Right.
And
well, you know, you're already levels over what most people would be, and looking at your own unique field of employment, trucking, there's a group of people that need communications, and they like to have it via CB to kind of keep each other awake, to warn each other of upcoming traffic situations or accidents or whatever. Tell us a little bit more about where the trucking industry has moved. I mean, it used to be all CB. Is there a pretty large group of truckers that are breaking away from CB and getting into some of these other things like GMRS?
Short answer, breaking away, yeah. Jumping into other ways of communication, yeah. Because I have a CB in my truck, and I don't know if you guys can hear it. Let me turn this up real quick. I don't know if you can hear that, but currently right now, there's no conversation, and I'm sitting at a truck stop. Usually you can hear all kinds of stuff.
This is Channel 19 predominantly,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Now, in my local area where I live, there are people who actually run base units, and they communicate, and there's two frequencies that get utilized where I live at. So depending on where I'm at, I could bounce between one and the other and talk to people. If I'm at home, there's only the main local channel where I can have a conversation with about seven or eight other people that live in my area.
And now I understand they're adding the FM mode to CB2. Have you heard that?
Yes, that's actually already been done.
Is it working? Do you guys use it?
I've never done the FM, but I am noticing there are people who are jumping on FM 19. Now, for anybody that's not familiar, FM is actually European, in Europe. Britain, England, all of those areas, they run on FM frequencies. They don't run on AM frequencies like we do over here for CB. So, which was really crazy, really weird, but there was a massive push from the communications side of the users to be able to open up FM frequency for same frequency setup, but running on FM rather than AM. And it got approved, and there is now a radio by President, and I want to say it's President Lincoln number 2, and it has FM band built into it now, and I'm seeing postings that people are actually starting to use that frequency setup. So that's actually it's nice to see that there are people who are wanting to do it. But for a lot of people who are running, you know, like the CB, I have a CB in the truck, and I don't know. Let's take a look here.
I would imagine people would I imagine people would like FM because of the better quality of audio. How about the range? Is FM better or worse an AM/CB?
Well, like anything else, when you're using communications, that really depends on your setup. Type of coax wiring, type antenna, where the antenna is placed at. Do you have the SWR set correctly? And CB is actually pretty simple with SWR. You can buy any SWR meter at most truck stops, and it works out really well. Whereas ham and amateur and GMR, or I'm sorry, ham amateur GMRS, you actually have to go buy a different SWR reader, because the SWR readers they have for CBs are not, they don't provide the same reading as an SWR reader for amateur and ham frequency. Now the CB that I have in my truck is an Antitone Quad 6, and it already has the FM band built into it, so I could just flip over mode and I get upper, lower, PA, AM, FM banding on that. So I'm interested to see how well FM actually does take off for CB, but overall, like, I can drive down the road and I won't hear a bit of conversation for hours on it on that thing. So that's when I started looking at doing other things for communication outside of an RF radio, i.e. CB. And first thing I ended up joining was brain fart moment, my apologies.
No problem.
The first thing I ended up joining was Zello. So I ended up doing that for a little while, joined on with a couple other groups. Then there was another one called Channel 19. It's an app on both Apple and Play Store. Got on that for a little bit. It was nice to be on it, but I noticed they started incorporating ads, and if you didn't want the ads, you had to pay the monthly service, and then if you wanted to do other things, you had to pay more money, and I was like, okay, time to find something different. I eventually came across an app that was developed over in Italy by the Midland, Italy team. And that was an app that I got to be part of the growth. I had joined right in its infancy of creation, essentially. And I got to give a lot of feedback and be part of how that app was being developed, growing, implementation of different functions and features based upon what users had. So they have Bluetooth devices that you have to buy that will work with the app, so you don't have to touch your phone. But it doesn't work off of RF, and that was something that I know that Italy was still trying to figure out, is how can we take this app and incorporate it with an actual CB so that you can use the app with the CB, but basically what the HT app does. So you can, they were aiming to take that application and find a way to be able to link it to a CB so that when you keyed up on the app, it keyed up the CB too. And do and relay and all that other stuff. And they never were able to figure out what to do about all that. But I know the most simplest answer is CBs overall don't have Bluetooth capability. So you can't link the CB over to your phone so that it can communicate back and forth while using a Bluetooth microphone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the app is still pretty good. They've changed a lot of it. They've turned it into kind of resembles a Zello platform in regards to now if you have one of the devices that work with the application, you can create your own group and all of this weird stuff.
Yeah, so I'm sure in the process of this progression you've made, excuse me, you've looked at the reasons why you would want to do this. What are the benefits compared to what you already had? You know, if you start with CB, the typical range of a legal CB is what? 10 miles, 15 miles?
Not even.
Okay. Yep.
So CBs so it's kind are, of limited. Yes, they,
and you, and you can only talk to people that are in that circle of coverage. Correct. Whom you don't know. And that Correct. Changes all the time. I mean, it's good for emergency. But when you progress from that into network communications, you saw a much more attractive opportunity for staying in connection with people you know, no matter where you are, as long as you have cell phone coverage. And now to be able to go back to tie that to the radio thing again, and I think it's just a matter of preference. I talked to a lot of hams that say, if it doesn't have a microphone, I'm not interested. I don't want to use my phone. Other people say, well, I don't have a lot of money and don't want to bother with antennas. I'll just use my phone or a network radio, which just is simply a phone with a push-to-talk button on the side. So it's a matter of preference, but there are definite advantages to having a network system that ties to a radio. And I'm sure you've processed through that. Why would I want that? What situations do you see where that would be of a real benefit?
Yeah. Give me 1 second here. I got my driver banging on my door.
Okay, no problem. So I would think personally for me, you know, you've got radio coverage, either a phone radio, phone is a radio, you've got phone coverage in places, and then you don't have phone coverage. Or you'll have radio coverage in certain places, but then in other places you won't because of being surrounded by mountains or whatever. Sometimes those two overlap the same, but sometimes they're different. So I can see in a situation where if you've got a couple of these radios, you'd have one in your car. You could leave a phone in that car that's connected Bluetooth to that radio, getting the data. And then you have another radio where you can take that down in a gorge or somewhere where you're not going to get radio or cellular coverage, but you probably would be able to hit your car. So now you've extended your range in very difficult situations, and you might find that to be an actual emergency situation or whatever. And then you got the opportunity to stay in touch with a group of friends, like using this system with the HT app and a radio, where across the country you've got truckers, and we already met several of them. Scotty was one of them, Dean, where you can stay in contact with each other no matter where you are in the country, whether you're using a phone or a radio, it's all connected to this network. So, you know, it's really all about the network, isn't it?
Yes. So, I'm over here trying to regather my thoughts now.
Sorry about that.
I've turned into a bit of an enthusiast. So I like within my first month, I ended up getting a bunch of radios. So my collection, and I just want to go ahead and say this up front. Several of the radios that I have are not GMRS compliant. They are VHF, UHF radios, but I have them programmed for GMRS. The first radio I have in my hand right now is let me disconnect the battery here to take a look, a UV82 Boofwang. I have a single UV5R at the house. I also have a UV9, two UV9s. These are all HTs, by the way. All of what I have is programmable so that I can communicate legally and properly on GMRS frequencies. I don't communicate outside of the frequency range of what my license allows, and it's because I actually cherish the $35 that I spent on a license that's good for 10 years. I also have a BTEC GMRS Pro. That's the new thing that a whole bunch of people went out and bought, and they actually ended up selling out on the stocks that they had available. So their back order, want to say about 3.5 to 5 weeks right now.
Well, I got mine just under the wire, I think.
Yeah, I ended up getting mine while they still had stock, and I ended up being the guinea pig. And if you're wondering why I said what I just said, well, when you look at BTEC's GMRS Pro Radio, they have a specific app that you're able to link up the radio to, but it doesn't provide networking. Well, if you know anything about the Vero products, the GMRS Pro Radio is identically the same to the Vero N75. So if you looked up the Vero N75 and then you compare the two, you notice they are identically the same radio. Just a rebranding badge was stuck at the top of it. So the curiosity killed the cat, and I'm the dog that chased the cat that ended up getting killed by the car. I said, okay, I'm going to chase that, chase this rabbit down the hole that seems to be extremely deep and very long. Got the radio, and okay, we're going to test this theory. I already have the HT app. I already have an RT99 that I use the HT app on. So, all right, we're going to try this BTEC GMRS Pro on the HT app and see if anything outside of it being a Vero N75 is different. Will the HT app accept the Bluetooth connection? Really simply, yes, it did. And I'm able to do everything on that BTEC GMRS Pro radio that I can do on a N75 handheld or a Redivis RT99 or a Vero N7500 or a Redivis RT78, which is another HT radio. And the only difference between the N75 and the GMRS Pro is the firmware. So BTEC took the N75 and they went and changed the firmware so it could be GMRS compliant. And if you ended up buying one and you hooked it up, you noticed that the radio is already pre-programmed to all of the GMRS FRS frequencies. And you can communicate on every single one of them, but you cannot communicate outside of those frequencies. And it is because of the firmware, the modified firmware that they used to ensure that that radio would be compliant. So now there is a rumor mill question running around. Can you reverse firmware engineer the GMRS Pro to turn it back into an original N75? I don't have an answer for that. And the way I figure it is, if you want an N75, buy the N75, because the N75 is a GMRS Pro radio. The only difference is it operates on all of the other frequencies that you can look and see when you go to input frequency information. So I now have an N7500, an RT99, a Redivis RT78, and a BTEC GMRS Pro. Now, if anybody's wondering what a Redivis RT78 is, it is basically the baby sister version of the RT99, except it is a handheld. It is a faceless radio with turn knob, push button, the PTT button on the side, channel changer, and multifunction button on the side as well. And it has a detachable antenna. And for those that were wondering about the GMRS Pro radio not having a disconnectable antenna, that is absolutely incorrect. It does have a disconnectable antenna. Not a Rubicon said is they're putting like a little bit of that glue on the threads. So you kind of have to twist it a little bit harder and it will pop loose, and then you can add whatever antenna you want if yours came set up so that you could not use other antennas. Mine came set up just like the N75, so I'm able to switch around antennas no problem. I don't have any issues with that. So that's the basis. My end goal and my end result is I would love to be able to turn around and provide something for where I live at and give about a 40-mile coverage area of coverage for a repeater that ties into a network. And for those that are wondering, Are there repeaters in my area? Absolutely. There's one that I'm able to talk to while I'm at my house, but I have to be outside. So that tends to be a problem. I have an external antenna mounted to the roof of my house. So, and it's tied into the RT99, so I can sit inside my office and talk to the local repeater. But they do not want any networks tied in to the repeater, and I will happily respect their wishes in regards to not connecting other networks to their system.
Yep.
Only because I like that repeater's there, and I'm able to talk to other people within 100 miles from that repeater, because that repeater's got a really nice footprint.
GMRS repeaters are really moving along. They're starting to use networking to bridge multiple ones together in a region or a state. If you go to mygmrs.com, you'll see they even have nets that are local and regional and even national nets, where they're using the internet to bridge them all together for communicating the technology and teaching each other. And it's really coming along almost like ham radio. And I know, being as my audience is mostly amateur radio operators, I'm finding more and more hams are getting a GMRS
license. Yep.
I think GMRS is like a gateway to ham radio, but not everybody's interested, and you're one of them. So a lot of hams would say to you, well, why don't you just come all the way and get a ham license? Give them your reasoning why that is not interesting to you at all.
I have a variety of reasons.
Put you on the spot, huh?
Not really. I have a variety of reasons why I've chosen not to jump that ship just yet. There might be a time down the road where I may go ahead and do it. But right now I don't want to. And the reason why I don't want to is because what I find that I'm able to do on GMRS, I can do it pretty well.
Right.
The other part is...
Plus it's got to do with your status in life right now. You're in a truck all day. You don't have time to mess around with ham radio. But someday when you're able to stay home and have some fun hobby time, yeah, you might. And in that case, you could say GMRS was a gateway to ham radio for you.
In a way, yes. But I don't have an interest for it right now. And a lot of it's not so much the status of my lifestyle. It's when I look at a test that I know I have to pass to a certain, percentage or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I suck at that stuff. And everybody's like, oh, just download this or do this and do that, And look, I'm 40, okay? tests to me are a thing where my brain just goes to mush. When I have to study something and try to retain it, I suck at it. But if you allowed me...
Can you say test anxiety?
Yeah. Now, if you allowed me to just jump on this stuff and play around with it and learn it as I go, I'm much better at it because I'm in the hands-on type of person. It's the way I learned computer repair and programming. I had to dive into it and physically do the different things to actually learn it, so that I'm able to pick it up and retain the information. So with GMRS, it's a simple... go through the steps to the FCC website, which for anybody that's still trying to figure that nonsense out, yes, I understand it is a massive clusterfuck. And I understand it can create a big headache because there's no true defining direct information from the FCC.
Yeah.
The morons who complicate everything. That you just can't click and say, okay, I want to pay for my GMRS license. Here's what I need to do. Nope, you got to go to this site first and create this account. Then you got to go back over here and link that account to this account. Then you have to go through steps 1, 2, 3, and 50 other thousand steps just to get the process going. Then you have to go over to this site to actually pay for it, because God forbid the FCC actually did something right.
It's too complex. I just tell people there's a YouTube video for that. I'm not even going to try and explain it.
Right. So,
well, anyway, that's back to the US GMRS. There's a lot of groups. There's groups everywhere. And my paradigm for radio communications, it's like you come into a big restaurant, big cafe. You've got a buffet line. You go through the line, you pick what you want, you leave the rest. You pick GMRS, you pick CB, you pick, all the different aspects of ham radio. Then you go find yourself a table. Maybe you want to just be alone and listen to all the conversation in the cafe. Go sit in the corner. Maybe you see a table with some of your buddies. So you go over there and you talk about what you like to talk about as a group. That's kind of the way I look at communications, all the different segmented groups, whether it's a mode difference or a license difference or whatever. And you're part of the USGMRS, which is just another table in the communications hobby. Why would you recommend someone pick USGMRS?
Scott's over there.
Oh, Scott's over there in the USGMRS. So anyway. I mean, you found something about this group that has attracted you and keeps you. What is it?
To be honest, it's more of an acceptance thing than anything else. What I have found about USGMRS is there is an eclectic, wide variety of characters and personalities, but a lot of it is very much aligned with my own. It's the expansion of GMRS as a whole and trying to incorporate so many different things that will work for everybody. Take the Asterisk All-Star system, for example. We want people to be able to get on that system by simply taking a netbook, a Chromebook, a BTEC APRS audio cable, hook it up to an RF radio, plug that into the computer, set up an Asterisk node system on the computer, and leave it alone. And guess what? You didn't have to spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to be able to get into the system. It's learning through trial and error. It's trying out different things by tossing out the ideas, saying, hey, can we try this? Can we try that? Can we make this work with this? Can we intermingle two things together and not lose the quality that we have now? And I'm very much over here thinking, when I'm driving down the road, thinking of different ways, can we try this? Can we try that? Can this work? Can we take these two things and add this third thing here and make all of this work together? And all of it is trial and error, and we are learning as we're going. But the one thing that USGMRS that I am liking more than any other group so far is, A, we don't care what you run. We don't care what you utilize. Bring it on. Bring it over here. Add to what we're already providing now. Become part of the bigger deal. Basically, it's like my GMRS and GMRS Live, but 10 times better. The one thing that we have most definitely said for now is no Zello, because every time we've listened in on the system that has a Zello attached to it, it's glitchy, it's choppy, the audio quality is offset. People who are on the Zello system haven't fixed their audio, so they're leveled out. The person who created a group hasn't fixed the audio quality so that when everybody gets on, they're all leveled out equally across the board. They haven't done something within their settings that ties into whatever system they're using so that when it keys up, it's also keying up across other things. The variations are so excruciatingly wide that it's the one system we've just simply said, not right now. You want to get onto the app to get onto these different systems. Here's an app that you can go to. You can sign in. You don't need an RF device. You can key up with just touching over your phone, or there's a couple of Bluetooth headsets that will allow you to key the app up while in the network channel, and you don't have to touch your phone to key up. So,
yeah,
just,
and you don't need a license on all of it either. I'm doing right, that now right with one of mine. I set it up for the MERS channel, the green dot.
Right.
No license
right.
necessary through right. the network.
Well, MERS, and for anybody that doesn't understand what MERS is FRS. MERS is only available on FRS frequency. It is not a GMRS frequency. Now, I would love to see some of these things that aren't available for GMRS to be incorporated. I mean, there's the talks of, what is that, digital. I forget what the term is right now. It's completely obliterated the space of my mind. But
DMR.
DMR, you know. And for all intents and purposes, it has been approved, but on a very, very limited testing scale. And the FCC does issue an actual specialized license for a person to create a DMR network with radios on GMRS. They, and what I read is all it is it's been approved for testing to see how well it will work. Will it create, you know, will it create a bigger problem? Can this be incorporated with current radios, which we all know if the radio is not already set up for DMR and it doesn't have the capability of DMR, then no, you'd have to buy a DMR capable radio that can work on GMRS.
Right.
And
by the way, I have to correct you on the MERS thing. The MERS is not FRS, it's VHF. And there's only five channels, two of which are predominantly used by Walmart. But if you're out in the country, they're pretty much empty. Nobody listens to them, and it's wide open. Very limited restrictions. You can do pretty much what you want. Put an outside antenna up 60 feet, all kinds of things. So, yeah, it's totally separate from FRS.
Gotcha. I thought I had read something about it, that it's only available on FRS.
No, FRS is on UHF. 462, it shares some of the same frequencies as GMRS, but because of the limited power and radios with, you know, no detachable antennas, things like that, those are not licensed. You don't have to worry about it. MERS is just a totally free VHF selection of five different channels and frequencies, and it's pretty easy to you can get just a MERS radio, actually. Not many people use it, though, but anyway. A lot of opportunities out there, and Edward, I'm so glad that I've gotten to know you through the USGMRS group. You and I share the same enthusiasm for experimentation and fun, and I would highly recommend anybody who is interested in GMRS that would like a supportive group of guys that are right there to help you and show you how to do things or share their knowledge with you, check them out. Download this HT app and do a search for existing channels, and I guess now you're going to get a long list of US GMRS channels from what I heard. I haven't heard about this till just now. And if you want to participate in a discussion in about 2.5 hours, we're going to be meeting in the US GMRS-The Cafe channel, which is my channel, and we're going to have a HT TechNet. We're going to try and do this every Sunday night. Edward will be there, Dean will be there, others that have experience with this, and a lot of folks have questions, so let's just get together weekly and discuss it. I've also created a new Telegram group in my Telegram Digicom Cafe suite of channels, and it's called HT Cafe Chat, where we can share links, we can do video chats, we can share screens with the software, and just learn about this stuff together. So want to invite you to be part of all these opportunities. Got any final words there, Edward?
I would just say, if you're an amateur operator who is still on the fence about testing out GMRS, you're definitely not alone. But I think you're missing out on a broader spectrum of people you can connect to. And, you know, as Nada Rubicon says, GMRS and amateur operators can get along. You'd be amazed on how many amateur operators are on GMRS, and we get along perfectly fine. It's
yeah,
you know, it's just another set of frequencies that allows you to function and operate. So you can say, hey, I can add this to my repertoire of availability of radio frequencies that I can bounce all over. And the kicker is, you being an amateur operator, you really don't have very many equipments that you would have to buy, because probably one of the equipments you already have will function on GMRS frequency.
Yep. So. And don't misunderstand what we're talking about here with these radios associating with GMRS. These radios, the N7500, the RT99, are designed for ham radio and GMRS. So, for example, just before Edward got on, I was in one of my ham radio-centric channels. I call it the Cafe Deli, Ham Deli. And I had it on the frequencies. I put the five channels in my app for the International Space Station. And I made a contact with one of the astronauts on the ISS. I've got the recording in my Telegram channel there, HTCafe chat. And you can listen to it. I'm even sharing it on Facebook too. So anyway, this is for ham radio too. And it's just an awesome system. I'm absolutely hooked on it. And thank you, Edward, for taking the time to join us in the cafe this evening, this afternoon. And we'll explore this stuff together.
Ooh, I want to throw one thing out there, because there has been, you know, how the rumor mills are. Can you network on GMRS? And if you actually go look at the FCC website's definition, yes, you can. You can network a repeater. As long as it goes from RF over network back to RF, that is the actual, I've summarized it, but if you read the full definition, you can network. You can take a GMRS repeater, you can create an all-star system, tie that over a network, and it can go across the network back over to another repeater and back out over RF. I heard this rumor mill, and I had to say, okay, I want to find out for myself if this is true, because, you know, apparently there's a letter floating around that says that it is illegal to network GMRS radio, you know, GMRS, and that's actually not true. So you can find out more about that by just doing your own research and learning. And I'd throw that out there at the end of this. So there you go. I appreciate you letting me be on the podcast, and it was nice talking to you.
All right. Well, 73, stay free. WRON 731.
WRTA 613.
Thanks, Edward. Appreciate it.
Yeah, buddy.
Hi, this is Extra Class Amateur Radio Operator, K5DCC. I just upgraded to my Extra Class last year. You know how I did it? I used HamTest Online. Did you know that HamTest Online is the top-rated study program on eham.net? 97% of reviewers gave them 5 stars. They have more 5-star user reviews than all other study methods combined, and success is guaranteed. If you fail the amateur radio license exam, they will refund your subscription. It's a no-brainer. You pass the exam or get a full refund. Try it for yourself at hamtestonline.com. Hello, cafeers. Denny J here in the beautiful Ozarks of Northwest Arkansas, out in the country, 25 miles from any large city. Out here in the country, we struggle to get good internet. Maybe you have the same problem. If you live in a rural area, you don't have many options. It's either satellite or DSL or cellular. And believe me, we've tried them all. Just recently, I was more than happy to pay the penalty to get out of our satellite service. Latency was horrible, and for amateur radio communications, the delays were up to 5 seconds, and you probably experienced what that's like. Our DSL service was also very unreliable. We rarely got the speeds that we were promised, and it kept dropping out. But now I think I found a service that we're going to love. It's called Visible.com. It's a company that's owned by Verizon and kind of a pared-back service, but works beautifully for my situation here out in the country on 15 acres. Visible.com offers only one plan. It's unlimited everything. Unlimited calls, text, and internet at slightly slower speeds than their top drawer plan at Verizon. But it does use the Verizon network. Go to visible.com and use my referral code 3NOVEMBER37NOVEMBERTANGO. Also, to get your $40 a month bill reduced to $25, you need to be part of a party pay group. You can join me in our Digicom Cafe party. You will find the link to these things down in the show notes here, along with links to our Digicom Cafe community portal, which is a Facebook alternative. Also, our Telegram community, where we have text and voice chat, and also our live cafe cast here in the Digicom Cafe. So get your line at visible.com. And again, use my referral code and join our party to get that bill down to $25 a month.
Thank you for listening to this Radio on the Rocks Cafe cast. We invite you to join our Mighty Networks amateur radio community at members.digicomcafe.com.